And then we started a series a few weeks ago. We're going to be wrapping it up now today here. It's called The Battle I Can't See. And this one has been all about really looking at the unseen world that the Bible describes, right? The Bible is going to describe a world that we don't, kind of at first glance, we don't see it, we don't observe it or perceive it. And you, if you could kind of make an incision in reality and pull back the curtain and see what's going on behind the scenes in the spiritual world, what we would see is that there is a battle that is kind of raging all the time, and it's for good and evil, and it's there's a lot going on, and that's what we've been talking about over the last bunch of weeks now, is some of the realities of that battle and where we find ourselves in the middle of it. And we said, really, when it comes to our faith, it's much more about understanding what that battle looks like than just kind of being a good person. Right, it's a deeper level than that. There's actually a reality where there's a struggle, a deep battle for what is good and right and true, and for that which is destructive and evil. And we said we can choose which side of that we're going to be on. And when we choose to follow Jesus, we anchor ourselves into that which is focused on advancing truth and love. And being a force for good, of course, in this world, and that's going to affect the world to come. And what we've been talking about is that over the last bunch of weeks. And if you're just jumping in today, you may want to go back and get caught up. If you want to catch the rest of the series, you're welcome to. You can do that on our YouTube channel if you want. And what we've been talking about here just in the last few weeks is kind of looking at the reality that this battle is not going to last forever. Right? It's not going to last forever. And sometimes we need to hear that. Sometimes we need to know that, right? That this thing has an end. Sometimes the race or the battle kind of feels long. And I need to know that there's going to be an end point, that there's a hope to look forward to, that there's not just any, you know, an ongoing battle that just kind of continues into forever. And so that's what we've been talking about. River did a great job last weekend talking about our resurrected bodies, like what's going to happen in when we move from this life into the next life. And we said this is going to be kind of a part one and part two. And what I want to do today is really look at kind of the second part of that conversation of what happens as kind of history culminates towards the end, right? Towards the end of time. And here's kind of what we're going to look at a passage here in a minute, but I want to frame us up here just a little bit and recognize that, of course, when Jesus came, when he came the first time, there's a whole bunch that was accomplished that's hard for us to recognize and to see. Like, at face value, you might just look at the person of Jesus. If you didn't have faith, you might just look at the person of Jesus and look at somebody who came and he taught things and he did some what seemed like supernatural things. We believe they are supernatural, and then he was crucified and died, right? And then we recognize that he rose from the dead, that he was God, and there's a whole lot more that's happening spiritually behind the scenes because of what Jesus did by living a perfect life, by dying an innocent death, by rising from the dead and beating and defeating death. And really, we're not going to see the fullness of what he accomplished until later when he comes back the second time, and we're gonna see him the second time come back differently. The first time when Jesus came, he came in humility, right? He came with meekness. The second time when he comes back and when he returns, that return is gonna look different, and we'll understand in part what Jesus accomplished for us. And for his own name and for his own glory, we're going to see all that play out in part when Jesus returns. So we're going to talk a little bit today about the return of Christ. And of course, we're right here in the middle, right? I'm summarizing a pretty large swath of history here, you know, a nice 2,000-year run, right? But we're kind of in the middle of these two zones, these two major events of Jesus coming the first time, Jesus coming the second time. We're not going to dial into any of the specifics of the end times, timeline, all that stuff. We're going to stay a little higher level today. But what the Bible is super clear about is that I'm going to live differently if I know that this is coming. As I engage this battle in between Jesus' first coming and his second coming, I'm in the middle of this kind of war zone spiritually. and it changes how I stand. It changes how I struggle if I know that there is an end, and to know that there is a victory that's coming. It's critically important, and it's where I begin to move my hope from this life or what I could have in the midst of this struggle, trying to cling on to comfort. I can begin to transfer my hope to this moment, right? Of course, when Jesus, his victory is seen, not just waiting for that to be revealed. And so I want to take us to a passage here in Revelation where we get a vision of what kind of the reality of Jesus's return might be like, or what it is like. And here's what Revelation is going to say in starting in verse 11. John says this, he says, "Then I saw heaven opened, and a white horse was standing there. Its rider was named Faithful and True, for he judges fairly and wages a righteous war. His eyes were like flames of fire, and on his head were many crowns. A name was written on him that no one understood except himself. He wore a robe dipped in blood, and his title was the Word of God. The armies of heaven, dressed in the finest of pure white linen, followed him on white horses. From his mouth came a sharp sword to strike down the nations. He will rule them with an iron rod. He will release the fierce wrath of God, the Almighty, like juice flowing from a wine press. On his robe at his thigh was written this title, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." We get this incredible picture of Jesus, right? And he's on this white horse, and everybody that would have been hearing this would have understood right at the time that when a military leader showed up on a white horse, it meant victory, right? And so he already is victorious. He's not coming back in this second coming in order to fight for victory. He's claiming what he's already won. Jesus has already won this battle. He's already beaten the forces of evil. There's just a delay between what he has accomplished and what he will receive or enjoy. That time delay is where we are in the middle, where the victory that Jesus accomplished for us on the cross when he beat death, all of that is going to show up in reality here. The Bible's going to call him faithful and true, and that's exactly what he is. He is marked by his faithfulness to his Father, by his faithfulness to his mission and to us, and he is truth. He would say that, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." He is true, and he is going to be against the forces of evil that have been marked by deceit, by deception, by division, by destruction, all of what we've been talking about over the last many weeks now. And what you'll notice here in the passage is that nobody else is fighting except for him, right? We are with him, and we're gonna follow him. The forces of good behind him are going to be part of that army. Are those angels? Certainly. Are those resurrected saints or people with him? Of course. And when Jesus comes back, what's going to happen is this. Jesus is going to come back victorious, and he's going to come back not in humility like he came the first time. He's going to come back in majesty. Where he came the first time on a donkey, he's going to come the second time on this victorious white horse. Where he came in the first time and he was labeled the King of the Jews, mocked for it, he's going to come back the second time and he's going to be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He was crowned with thorns on the first time he came. On the second time that he comes, he's going to have the many crowns. He's going to have the glory of the kingdoms upon him. And what I need to know when I see that is I need to know, living in the midst of that battle, because all of this reality of the return of Jesus, all of this is unseen on this side. I access all of this by faith. I believe it. I believe that what Jesus was doing when he came here was securing this victory over evil so that one day I would be able to live here with him in peace forever. And here's the beautiful part. The midst of this war that we're in the middle of is we get to invite people to take this journey with us, to join into the victory that Jesus has accomplished, to invite people into the faith that we walk in now. Here's a phrase that we used the first week that we want to return to and continue to unpack even more, is this, that we fight from victory, not for victory. We fight from victory, not for victory. Right? We want to walk in the victory that Jesus has accomplished. When I can do that, when I can walk in that victory that Christ has accomplished for me, now, even though I can't see it, I can take hold of it, of course, by faith, because I know this day is coming. I've got to know that. That there is a king coming that has a name that only he understands. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. And here's what I want to make sure we catch as well, that right, what he accomplished on the cross is revealed when he returns, that when Jesus comes back, all of this is going to make sense. Today, it doesn't totally. Even when Jesus rose from the dead, only some people witnessed that, and only some people saw it. Not everybody was able to grab hold of that reality. And Jesus would even say, blessed are the people who didn't see me and know me and understand that I rose from the dead and still believed. Many would not have to do that because we have to access it all by faith. But all of that was accomplished when Jesus beat death and he rose from the dead, and today he sits at the right hand of God and he lives to intercede for us. All of this victory is secure. We aren't. He's not worried, man, I don't know if I'm going to be able to pull this off. I don't know. I mean, look, politics. You know, he's not worried if he's not worried about it. I'm pretty sure Jesus is not wringing his hands thinking, I don't know, man, what about if they get in office or if that person moves in office or this person stays in office? I'm not sure he's worried about offices. And you're like, Ryan, isn't there real ramifications to it? Yeah. It's here's the thing, folks. This battle is going to be challenging. Because this part, we said this, this part is not this part. That this time, this is not heaven. Are there things to enjoy here? River hit this. Absolutely. Absolutely. There's things to enjoy here, and we should. We should enjoy the gifts that God has given. That's what we do here, right? What do we do in this time? We engage the mission. We engage the mission that Jesus has given us to help people to know and to believe this reality, because this is where we're all going to go, right? We're not all necessarily going to live forever with Jesus in heaven. That's only if we have faith in what Christ has done for us. So I want to engage the mission of helping people to realize, hey, this time is going to end. And when this time ends, and when Jesus comes back, and when he shows up actually physically here on the planet, the only thing that's going to matter, the only thing that's going to matter is what I did with Jesus. That at the end of the day, if I was, what I did with my faith, when I believed in him, how I responded to him with my life and my actions and whatever I said and believed and thought about him and how I loved others. When he shows up, he's going to look and say, hey, whatever you did to the least of these, you did to me. However you engage, as you looked at your life, did you engage me as you walked here? When you showed up in your job, did you do it as if doing it onto me? Not just serving human masters. When you thought about the future, did you envision that future with me in it, coming back, making all things new? What did you do with me in the middle of your time here on the planet? Here's what's not here's what's probably not going to matter. What's not going to matter is what my net worth is, what my square footage is. What's not going to matter is how young I look when Jesus comes back, because we're going to get a new body. It's great news. It's great news for me. I'll have hair. It'll be sweet. My hair was never that good anyway. You know what I mean? I'm just saying. Right? Well, what's not going to matter is did all of my dreams and hopes come true in this time? What's going to matter is, was I looking forward to Jesus showing up and returning? And did my days and my decisions and the affections of my heart reflect this? This reality. It says in Zechariah 14, it says, and the Lord will be king over all the earth. On that day there will be one Lord. His name alone will be worshipped. I want you to hear that. His name alone will be worshipped. There will be no name that rivals Jesus. There will be no opponent. There will be no other human being that people look at and go, man, that guy is so awesome. Yeah, there's Jesus, but look at Elon Musk. Look at LeBron James. These are people. They're made in the image of God, and they're done incredible things. When Jesus shows up, though, everyone, there's not going to be anybody that's going to be left but to bow down and worship and look at the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Just one name that's worshipped. Just one name. And that name's not going to be attached to a party, a political party. He's going to be over all kingdoms and all territories, and he's going to have the rule and the glory of all kingdoms. No one will stand against him. And here's what I have to know. When I feel alone, and when I feel persecuted, or I might even feel a little bit crazy sometimes because I'm not sure if anybody, are other people doing this thing that I'm doing? I need to know that there's a day coming when all of this will be made right. Is there going to be a day when all of the sacrifices pay off, Jesus? Now listen, we don't earn anything from acts of faith or good that we do. All of that was paid for by Jesus, and we get to serve and lay down our life. And Jesus, here's the wild part. Jesus looks at us and says, what I want you to do here, I want you to look like me as you live out the rest of this life. And eventually, you're going to look like me. You're going to join in my glory. Although, of course, we'll never have the reverence that Jesus, we don't even want it. But we'll share in his glory, he says. The scriptures literally say it. So will you humble yourself and serve and walk by faith and be misunderstood and engage the mission? Of course, enjoy my gifts along the way. But knowing that one day I'm going to make all of that right, and that you can entrust me with all of that. I have to know that. I got to know that. I was just thinking about it this week. Because if I'm honest, there's just times when there's times where this is clear, and there's times when this gets fuzzy and faded. There's times where I want to just find hope in this life. There's things I want to do, and I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing. And what I have to recognize in what my heart feels so challenged by is when I run into a passage like this, or I run into a passage that says, set your hope fully on the hope that is to be revealed. My heart gets challenged. And I have to ask myself the question, Lord, is it better to see you and to be with you than to even watch my kids get married? I'd love to do both. Right? Is it better to long for your coming or to have some of the hopes and the goals that I'd love to see play out in my lifetime? And here's what this truth and this reality does to me, at least it does for me, is it challenges my heart. And what it does is it makes me move some of my hope from this life into the next. And say, Lord, it's better. It's better to see you. The reality of being with you physically, the reality of a new creation, a renewed creation, a new heaven and a new earth, all of that is going to be far better than anything I can imagine here. And it's wonderful to enjoy the gifts that you give us, Lord, here on this side of heaven. Here's what I need to know. When I experience injustice, when I experience evil or sin even in my own life, I need to know this. I need to know that one day evil will end and the battle will be over. I need to know that the battle will be over. Those of you who feel your own weakness, Jesus would look at you and say, blessed are you who are poor in spirit. Yours is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when you know that you need rescued and saved. I want you to know I need rescued and saved. I'm excited for the day when Jesus completes me. I'm not there. I'm not there. I need Jesus to help me, make me more like him. And there's going to be a day when Scripture says, when I see him, I'll be like him. I need to know that. I need to know that evil will end. I need to know that I am not the judge, but he is, and I can trust him with that and know that he's going to make it all right. And in the middle of that waiting, I can endure knowing that my hope of transformation, my hope of justice and the dealing of injustice, I can entrust all of that to him and say, Lord, this is yours. Because evil is going to end and the battle will be over. I got to know that. I need to know that. If you've ever endured a long thing, a run a long race, as a former distance runner, the middle is always messy. It's in the middle. I can start off really well, solid, maybe even ahead of pace. And finish pretty strong. The finish line's right there. It's in the middle that things get muddy and the race feels long. And what I would say to you is it's in the middle that I need to know that evil is going to end, that Jesus will make all things new. Look what Scripture says in Revelation 20. Then the devil who had deceived them was thrown into the fiery lake of burning sulfur, joining the beast and the false prophet. Big story there. There they will be tormented day and night forever. All I want us to see in this passage is this. Our enemy will be destroyed. There is not a question. There's not a doubt about it. The one who has brought ruin to God's good creation, disease and destruction and fracture, the one who is poisoned, the one who has created all of the pain that we experience, one day, you need to know this, that being will be put to destruction. And that's actually part of the good news. It's part of the good news. Good news. Jesus wins. Jesus wins this thing. I don't have to win it. I don't have to accomplish it. He's not wondering if he's going to win. He's already won. He's already won. And now we wait for that victory. We wait for that realization of what has been accomplished all the way back here. We wait for that to show up and for that to be realized, where one day we're going to interact with all of that by sight. I'm not even going to need faith anymore. I'll be able to see it and to walk in it. And I mean, I need to know that. I need to know that. And this is how I think Paul can say something like this in the book of Romans. The God of peace, this is a fascinating verse, the God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. The God of peace, the one who has created peace, he himself is peace. He's going to bring peace by getting rid of the one that takes it away. And we're actually part of that. We're involved in it. We get to, as we stand, like we've been talking about throughout this series, as we stand firm in our faith, God uses us to press against evil. There's a reality to that. When you and I break down strongholds and we see generational sin destroyed, the enemy is crushed through those efforts. You need to know that. I need to know that all of this is moving in this direction, and I need to know that I can cling to a hope that will one day be realized. I need to know that I get to stand and be a part of that victory, even though I was a part of the problem, even though I was part of the deception that I, at one point in my life, was an enemy of God, that he would save me and rescue me through the efforts of Christ, through his life, death, burial, and resurrection, and ascension. And now today, I get to be in the family of God and against the very things that I once propagated and propelled. In my own lack of knowing God, I was a destroyer of the work of God. And now I get to switch teams. And this is what this battle that we can't see is wrapped in. And here's what we want to make sure to capture. When we see where history is headed, we find the strength to stand. When I know that this is where it's going, when I know that Jesus will return, that he will come back, that he will make all things new, that he will give me a resurrected body, that I will live for eternity, like River talked about last week, with him, I can look at my, what scripture calls my momentary suffering, and I can endure knowing that this is not my forever state. This is not how it's going to be. One day, he'll make all things new. So, Ryan, what do we do with this? What do we do with all this? Here's what we do, guys. I think if I'm going to look at the battle, right, for one, this changes the way I see my whole life. Changes the way I see my whole life. That the reality is not everybody will be on the right side of history when Jesus returns. Some who have rejected Christ, those who've rejected Christ when Jesus returns, you got to think about this from God's perspective. If God looked and said, "You've rebelled against me, but I love you. I'm going to reach out to you." And you say, "No, thanks. I'm good. No, I love you. I'm for you. Here's. I'm going to send you prophets. I'm going to send you the Bible. I'm good. Thanks. I'm going to put my family, the church, on the planet so you can see an imperfect but clear vision of what my heart is like as you watch the people of God love each other. No thanks. I'm good. I'm going to send my own son. He's gonna put human skin on, and deity in the midst of humanity is gonna show up on the planet. And do you know what we did with him? We killed him. That's what we did with him. And the offer, even after he died, the offer of having life in his name, do you want that? Do you want the forgiveness of sin? No, I'm good. If after all that, all of these acts of mercy, attempts at relationship, offers of kindness, that God, in his great love for people, for you and I, if after all of those attempts, finally, on the day that Jesus comes back, if we're still not in, we still won't respond to the goodness of God, God's going to look at those who have rejected him and say, I never knew you. I never knew you. If you don't want me, you don't have to have me. And really what hell is the absence of God. It's a place, it's physical, it's real. But if you extract all of God's attributes out of a situation, all of his kindness and all of his love and all of his mercy, all of who he is, and you pull all, what you get is hell. What heaven is marked by is the fullness of God without the presence of evil. At the end of the day, when Jesus returns, those who have not said yes to Christ will be separated from him. And those who have believed in him will be brought into the family. What that does, what that reality does, is that sets, if I'm a follower of Christ, that sets my heart on fire to engage the mission of helping people to know Jesus, of representing him here on the earth. I want to engage that mission. I want to stand. I want to stand firm in how God has equipped me to stand in the onslaught of evil. Here's the third one. I need to extract my hope from this place and transfer it to this one. I want to extract my hope from a place that's going to be altered and changed and destroyed. And I want to move it to a person. God, wherever you are, I want that to be where my hope is. And all of that changes how we live our life here in the middle of this battle that we can't see. To know that there is a day coming where that battle will end makes me engage this whole thing differently. And here's what I would say to you. If you're here today, and man, you've been tracking with us, and you don't know Jesus yet, let me start here. What I want you to know is that the God of the universe has created an all-out effort for your soul. He loves you. He is for you. He sent his own son to die for you. And that son is going to come back. And what he's inviting you to do is to say yes to him, to his sacrifice for your sin, to believe in him, to be on the right side of history, to have life in his name. And what we have to do is we have to turn away from evil in our hearts and say, I don't want to go this way anymore. Lord, I want your way. That's called repentance. And you today could say, I want to be in on this. I want to say yes to Jesus, and I want to walk by faith, and I recognize there's a battle. I believe that. I think what that guy's saying is true. And it's not me saying, it's what the scriptures say. And you today can make that decision, and your eternity will be altered, and you can understand why you're here on the planet. You're not just here to have some good times and then die. It's deeper than that. There's a mission that we're put on the planet to engage. For the rest of us, can we walk in this? Can we walk by the faith that God calls us to, living in a battle that we can't see. As the band comes up, would you bow your heads, close your eyes with me? Father, today I pray, Lord, that you would help us to begin to cultivate our imagination for what that day will look like. Lord, when we see you, when you return, Christ, one day all of the things that we believe and engage by faith, we're gonna actually see them, Lord. I pray that you'd help us to know that, to walk in that power. Today, for anyone here, anyone who hears my voice today who doesn't know you, Lord, I pray that you would help them to have courage to have faith in your name. Lord Jesus, would you come quickly? Would you come back soon? And would you give us the strength to endure, to stand? And would you give us courage to transfer our hope from this life into the life to come? Help us with this, God. And we look forward to seeing your face, Lord, one day soon. It's in Christ we pray. Amen.